But when truly forced to choose between working at a bakery and giving in to threats and intimidation, he turned his back on his friends and his principles. The parallel between the reformation of American universities in the 1960s and what occurred in Nazi Germany runs even deeper. Deconstruction is a direct and unapologetic offshoot of Heidegger's brand of existentialism, which not only was receptive to Nazism but helped foster it. Heidegger was the great inheritor of Nietzsche's assault on truth and morality, which held that we make our own truth and decide our own morality. For Heidegger and Nietzsche alike, good and evil were childish notions. What matters is will and choice. Self-assertion was the highest value. Choices were worthwhile only if they were authentic choices, heedless of conventional morality. This was the ethos of Nazism that Heidegger wholeheartedly embraced and never forthrightly renounced, even decades after the extent of the Holocaust and other Nazi crimes were known. The Nazi critique of Western civilization was total. In his infamous rectorial address, Heidegger looked forward to the time, hastened by Hitler's efforts, when the spiritual strength of the West fails and its joints crack, when the moribund semblance of culture caves in and drags all forces into confusion and lets them suffocate in madness. Deconstruction's indebtedness to the fascist avant-garde remains one of the most controversial subjects in academia today, precisely because that debt is so obvious and profound. Paul Dimond, for example, was a Nazi collaborator in Belgium who wrote seething pro-Nazi and anti-Semitic articles for a fascist newspaper during the occupation. Herbert Marcuse, a protege of Heidegger's, became the leader of the New Left's academic brain trust. He attacked Western society mercilessly, arguing that liberal tolerance was serving the cause of oppression, an argument that echoed the fascist assault of the 1930s almost perfectly. Franz Fanon, who preached about the redemptive power of violence, was widely seen as a direct heir of Georges Sorel, the pre-fascist theorist admired and emulated by Italian fascists and Bolsheviks alike. The Nietzschean pragmatist Michel Foucault, revered by postmodernists and feminist theorists, set as his North Star the sovereign enterprise of unreason. Foucault's hatred for Enlightenment reason was so profound that he celebrated the Iranian Revolution of 1979 and the dictatorship of the mullahs precisely because it was a pre-modern assault on Enlightenment principles. Carl Schmitt, a grotesque Nazi philosopher, is among the most chic intellectuals on the left today. His writings were passed around as samizdat by New Left radicals in Europe, including Joschka Fischer, who spent the 1970s beating up policemen in West German streets and later became foreign minister and vice chancellor in the government of Gerhard Schroeder from 1998 to 2005. For more than 60 years, liberals have insisted that the bacillus of fascism lies semi-dormant in the bloodstream of the political right.